We have gotten a start in the book of Genesis, and specifically we've been looking at Abraham and Sarah, and we have, you know, looked at this call of God in their lives and Abraham's response and his yes that began to take these steps with God. And if you read some of those in-between chapters, between the message chapters that we've looked at, you know that those steps weren't always firm and solid for them. Their steps of faith sometimes had some wavering, and not unlike human beings today, not unlike us at times. And you know, last Sunday, as we looked into the story, we saw again the promise of God being reaffirmed to Abraham and Sarah, that they would have a baby, that they'd have a baby boy. Now, last week we laughed a lot, right? Because of the strangeness of this whole promise that somehow a 90-year-old woman and a 100-year-old dad are going to have their very, very first child. And it was laughable, wasn't it? And forever, they would have their son Isaac, which means laughter, with them. And so every day, they would be reminded of the incredible gift of God, but just how strange it was that at their age and at this time in life, they have a baby and is a son. But it's all part of the promise of God. And aren't you glad that we can trust how God's promises are, and that when He promises, we can hold on to the promise? Well, today we're going to shift gears almost to an opposite side of things. Last week we laughed a lot. Today we may cry a bit, because today we move into Genesis chapter 22. And in Genesis 22, we're going to have a sobering story that's also a part of Abraham's life. And as I was preparing for this, I was reminded of something I read years ago by Warren Wiersbe. He said this: a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. Just let it sink in a little bit. A faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. How many of you enjoy taking tests in school? Anybody here enjoy them? There are some that like taking tests because you're a good test taker, right? I mean, you do well on them and you just have a knack for it. Many did not raise your hands. Hey, thank you, Jim, for helping us. Jim is Kayla's dad, and he helped us out on the instruments today, and he's going to be coming back and helping us from time to time. So thank you. Now, you're a teacher, first, right? Tough tests, right? I might not be able to pass them, I don't think, but what's that? Testing of patience, maybe that. Well, you know, many of us maybe struggle with that testing thing. And sometimes, did any of you ever feel like your teacher was out to get you in these tests? that it wasn't about trying to see how you've been learning and how you're going to, you know, what help you might need along the way. But today we're going to look at a test, because the reality is, for us in life, we will always be tested in one way or another. They won't be tests like you get in school necessarily, though sometimes that happens. I remember when we first moved here, some of you who were here when we got here, you may recall that we'd already set up a trip that we had planned with some other pastor couples, and that like shortly after we moved here, then we were gone for a couple weeks in vacation. Well, that happened to be a time where we were gone 2 weeks, and it overlapped Tammy's birthday. And one of the things that she did not take care of before we left was getting a new driver's license. And so, you know, when we got back, it was like 2 days after her birthday, and she goes in to see if she can just get her license, you know, a new license, because when I got mine, it didn't require anything special. I don't know if I might have had to take a written test or something, but for her, they said, no, you have to take the driving test too. Now, you know, she's a good driver, and you shouldn't even get nervous about that, but how many of us would kind of get nervous because we'd have to take that test again that we took so many years ago? Well, sometimes tests come and they're unexpected. We don't know that they're going to happen and they make us nervous. And I can just imagine that here in Abraham's life, the test that he has to face. And he doesn't know he's being tested at the time. That we learn that because the scripture tells us that's the case. But for Abraham, it's just a response to what God asked him to do in a very, very difficult situation. So we're going to look at Genesis 22. And so let's begin reading this account. And again, it's a tough one, but it's one that we need to hear again today. And so it says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. Now, when he says sometime later, it just simply means that Isaac's been born. Isaac's been growing up for some time now. I mean, he's maybe a young teenager, maybe even, or a late, grade school kind of age. We're not sure exactly the age. But God tested him, is how the scripture starts this. And he said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. That tended to be Abraham's response to God. When God called, here I am. That's how it started. Here I am. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. And when he cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place that God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. I think that's significant. And Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. And as the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father? Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. And when they reached the place that God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. And Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. And he went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as the burnt offering instead of his son. And so Abraham called the place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. And your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you've obeyed me. Then Abraham turned to his servants and they set off to Beersheba. And Abraham stayed in Beersheba. I told you it was a tough one. Unimaginable for us. And I think the Lord wants it to be unimaginable for us. I think that this whole story leads us to the point to remind us all that it would be always God who would be the provider. of the ultimate sacrifice for us. But as we get into the story and look at it, I believe there are some purpose and something for us to hear. And though it might be a difficult story to kind of wrestle with, I think there are some things that I hope will help us all in our own relationship with God. Here are a few things I just want to kind of leave with us right here at the start. The first thing is this, that our faith will be tested whether we like it or not. It will be. If it hasn't been yet, it will be. Faith gets tested. The second thought to leave with you is this, that the salvation of humanity is always going to be and always would be costly, and blood would be shed. It's a reality that there would be bloodshed because of the situation that we as human beings find ourselves in apart from God. But I'm glad for the provisions of God. And then the third thought that I just want to leave with you at the beginning is that eliminating evil always requires sacrifice. This is a great contrast to our story from last week, isn't it? As we thought about all the blessings that God wanted to bring into Abraham's life, the last thing that came in our mind at that point was something like this. Those blessings that God would give, a promise made and a promise kept, we were excited about that, and we're always excited about those kind of things, aren't we? When God makes promises to us, we hold on and latch on to those. But when God tests us, it's a different story, isn't it? When God tests us, it's more difficult. It's more of a challenge for us to want to hold on. I found something interesting, and I thought slightly humorous when it comes to the gift of the promise of Isaac to Abraham and Sarah. Frederick Buechner put it this way. He said, "Shall a child be born in a geriatric ward? Shall Medicare pick up the bill?" But that's what happened. A gift, a promised gift given to them in the person of Isaac. Promise was fulfilled. But now we come to this story. We come to this story that begins with, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain that I will show you." And as soon as we begin to read that, in our hearts we're crying, no, aren't we? No, no, no. How in the world can we go from this blessing, this gift, this little one running around in this home for these several years now, and all of a sudden have this command, have this invitation? It's amazing to hear Abraham say, "Here I am." One of the things I think we need to understand about this story and about Abraham is that he had come to, across those many, many years now, to realize that he could trust the God who spoke to him, even when he didn't understand. And there are times when we do not understand the God who speaks to us. We do not understand the reasons for the word we may hear, but we know God speaks, and we know that in Abraham's story he had become attentive and responsive to the voice of God, and that he had learned to trust him even though he didn't understand. That's not usually where faith begins, is it? That's why this is a journey. That's why we're making this journey of faith. It's not how we started. For most of us, a few weeks ago, I think we talked about the fact that many of us came to Christ when we were just children. My faith in God was just, a young kid learning to love a God who loved me. Not understanding what kind of tests might come. Not realizing what kind of heartache or troubles we might experience. But in life, along the way, we discover a God who speaks and a God who can be trusted. And we find in Abraham one who had made himself attentive to the voice that God brought into his life. Anyone in this room who has ever been tested in your faith knows how hard it can be. Some of you here today have been through things that some of the rest wouldn't even hardly be able to imagine what you've been through. And it tested your faith. You may have questioned God. You may have questioned your own faith. You may have even maybe let go for a while. But I'm glad that God doesn't easily let go of us. God did not easily let go of Abraham that day. This man who had learned little by little, step by step, that he could trust this one who spoke. One of the things I notice in this story is how immediately Abraham acts on the command to go to Moriah. It says, early the next day, he does not hesitate. He doesn't hesitate, not because he wants to do this, but he doesn't hesitate because he knows obedience now is the only way. Anyone that's ever delayed obedience knows how much harder it gets, right? If you delay your obedience to God, it gets tougher to take the step that God wants you to take. And so immediately, Abraham acts. Early the next morning, and Abraham, Isaac, the two servants, they start on this journey in obedience to God. And I don't know about you, but as a parent, have you ever expected your child to obey you without necessarily understanding why they needed to obey? You've been there, right? We've all been there as parents where you expect them to obey, not because they may understand it, but eventually maybe they will, but at that moment they don't. They just need to obey. They just need to trust. And so here is Abraham responding in trust. The steps he takes are difficult. They are challenging. And sometimes the steps that God takes us on, they take us to the edge. We find it hard. I know Jim and Judy, you're right here, and we've been praying for you guys for months and months and months with all that you've been through. And you've been to some of those edges. You get to some of those edges like you shared today. You did not expect to maybe even be here as of now. We don't know where we're going to be. Some here have been going through the darkest days of your life. You have. And sometimes you're holding on just by a thread. But just know that God is faithful. And God's holding on to you. Even though you don't know how you're going to make it, God brings you through. We know it's one thing to say yes to the promise. It's another thing to say yes to the test, isn't it? It is totally different. And it's clear from this particular passage of Scripture just how much Abraham loves his son. I mean, did you hear that description? Take your son, your only son, whom you love. Sounds a lot like John 3:16, doesn't it? The one who gave his one and only son. We're not told how Abraham felt about any of this. Isn't it interesting? We're not told about how he felt. The Scripture doesn't always deal with our feelings. And the reality is it doesn't have to, because we know how Abraham must have felt. We have a sense of how difficult and challenging this was. When they finally reach that certain place, they leave the servants behind and the donkey behind, and all of a sudden you have this scene of Abraham and Isaac walking alone to the place where God sent them. And it's Isaac who raises the question. It dawns on him, and maybe he's been living with it for those 3 days in that journey. Dad, we have everything. We have everything we need, but what about the lamb? What about the lamb? And I don't know if or when it dawned on him that he would be the sacrifice, if it was when his dad starts to wrap him and prepare him for that altar. I don't know, and I don't understand all that this story might imply for us. But I do know that it's here to help us realize just how deep the pain and the struggle is for those who have loss, but also to understand the depth of the pain of God, who did give all for us. I love how Abraham answers. It's so powerful when he simply says, God himself will provide the lamb. But when they reach the place, Abraham builds the altar, arranges the wood, and binds his son and places him on that altar and takes the knife ready to slay his son. Again, unimaginable for us. But God interrupts him at the perfect time. God cries out, Abraham, Abraham. I mean, there's an urgency to the voice of God in those moments to stop him, because the intent of God was never to have his son slain as a sacrifice. The intent of God was never for that to be the last thing. He says, don't lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. I know you fear God, because you didn't withhold your son, your only son. And it's then that Abraham looks up and he notices what God did provide. A ram caught in the thicket. The sacrifice that God would provide. And I love the fact that at the end of all this, he names that place, reestablishes a place. This is where God provided. My guess is even in the losses that we experience and the things that we go through, we will find that God will provide. It may not be in the way we anticipate. It might not be exactly how we think it up. But God provides. There are some of you who have been through it, and you know that's true. There are some of you who are going through it, and you're praying it's true. Right? God provides. And the Lord reaffirms the promises and the covenant that he made with Abraham, and how he'd be blessed and how he'd be a blessing because he had seen in Abraham one willing to obey, even though he didn't understand. And there are times where we just do what we know God wants us to do, even though we don't understand why. We're called to do it. And it says at the end simply, and they returned home. Remember how he said, we'll be back. He said, we'll be back. Because God provides. We sometimes forget that the Abraham story is a part of God's redemptive plan for all of humanity. That somehow through the lineage of Abraham will come what God needs in order to provide for all of us. Because Jesus is in this line. Jesus is in this this line that helps us realize that God does provide. And in this passage as well, we find that the test confirmed that Abraham did trust God. Abraham trusted the Lord that he always would look out for his best interest and that the Lord would provide. I'm reminded of how the writer to the Hebrews puts all this little story down into three verses. And you're saying here this morning, Pastor, why don't you just preach the three verses? It had been so much quicker and easier. But listen to how the writer of the Hebrews puts it. It says, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him that it's through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. And Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Already hinting at that resurrection kind of promise, the kind of God that is able, if necessary, to raise one back from the dead, which indeed he did in his son, Jesus. God took a risk that somehow Abraham would respond, and Abraham took the risk that God would provide. There's a sense in which the test that day ran both ways, didn't it? Not only can the Lord trust Abraham, but Abraham can trust the Lord. And isn't that how the relationship with God really works? We learn to trust as we reciprocate and respond and obey and listen and find that God is trustworthy. The relationship we have with the Lord is built on trust. It's built on this one that we can place our full faith on because he does provide. And so that day, just as the Lord provided a ram, so he has provided the Lamb of God. Aren't you glad? For us here today, we look to this altar. We look at this table that has the communion elements there and reminded of one whose body was broken, whose blood was shed in our place for us, that we might be saved, that we might experience that joy of being his. Aren't you glad to be a child of God today? Even though the life experiences we don't always understand and there are hard ones to experience. But we find time after time that God is trustworthy. And sometimes we just need to be reminded of it, and I trust today that we'll be reminded of it when we do in remembrance today what Jesus did for us. The one and only Son, who was a sacrifice for us. And so I pray that these closing moments will be sobering moments to think and to pray and to thank the Lord for his provisions for us. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we love you. And we thank you, Lord, that your love for us led to you sending your Son on our behalf. And we thank the Lord Jesus for being willing to be the sacrifice that we needed to provide for our salvation. Lord, we thank you that you love us like you do. And Lord, we pray that you will help us to be more fully devoted to you and, like Abraham, learn to be responsive to your voice and willing to trust you, even when we don't understand it. Give us the grace we need to be able to get through some of the things we experience, holding on to you as you hold on to us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a privilege to be able to share communion together today, and I pray that it'll be a meaningful time for us all. And so we'll again have our worship team be the first to come, and then beginning from the back, come and receive the elements. Brett's going to help me today as we receive communion together. Feel free to come. Those are going to be helping us today. And I don't see Brett. Charles, would you help? Feel free to come. Bless you, Lord.